we're going to share all the things that we learned about John Wesley, I have to say that in our study Wednesday night, I had known this, and somewhere I'd forgotten this, that John Wesley's father, Samuel, was not well liked by his parishioners. Part of it was because he was from the city and he was out in the country. Part of it was that he supported the king and he was in the area that did not support the king. And they ended up trying to burn down his house. And I thank Karen for pointing that out, because I thought, at whatever happened to me this week, at least nobody burned down my house, you know? And at least nobody burned down my house. And thank you, Suzanne, for that children's message. It's wonderful to think about the impact we can have as parents. Our scripture today comes to us from 1 Peter. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen. As we read from 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to begin with verse 13 and read down through verse 16 again of 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for the opportunity to gather together today in this community of faith. We're thankful for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through our gathering thus far, and we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, so that the words that you have for us today might be more for us than simply more information. But we pray, Lord, that your word might dig deeply within our hearts, that it might transform us from the inside out. And all this, gracious God, we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we've offered this prayer today, saying amen. Well, just like we talked about last week with the word revival, sometimes when we hear the word holiness, we get negative images, don't we? When we think about holiness, sometimes when I think about holiness, I think about people who are holier than thou. You've heard that expression. When I was a young person, probably when I was in middle school, I encountered a family. There was a friend of mine whose family came from the Holiness Church. That was the name of the church. And what made them distinctive was that his mother always wore dresses. She never wore jewelry. She never wore makeup. So that's what I kind of grew up with, thinking holiness was about. I thought that holiness meant that somehow you were holier than everybody else around you, which didn't really seem like the image that I got from reading the Gospels about Jesus. And in this scripture from 1 Peter, you hear the writer say, you need to be holy because you're trying to follow in the footsteps of God who is holy. So be holy as God is holy. Which seems like a tall order to most of us, doesn't it? I'm really a fairly holy person until I have to stand in line, until I have to wait, or sometimes until I get in the car, right? I can feel pretty holy and until those times. But it strikes me that as I think about this scripture, this passage, this word holiness, what is it trying to get at? What does holiness really mean? And why would the scripture say, why don't you be holy just like God is holy? The Greek word for holiness that is used here for be holy is hagios, hagios. And it does mean holy. It also means a saint. It's translated that way sometimes, and it also means set apart. And for me, this is the one definition that I really think about when I think about holy. It means being set apart. For John Wesley, the idea of holiness came because he did not want to be what he called an almost Christian. He didn't want to be an almost Christian. He didn't want to be part of the way there. And he recognized that to do that he had to give up to God, not only his heart, and to give up his heart fully, but also his mind, because he didn't want to be an almost Christian. He wanted to be, he said, an altogether Christian. An altogether Christian. And when you start to think about what that means, what was an altogether Christian? I shared with you last week that one of the verses that really influenced John Wesley was Jesus's, what is the greatest commandment, when he was asked that. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And to me, when I think about holiness, what holiness means to me is growing in love of God and in love of our neighbors. That's what holiness is. I think that probably the family that I knew when I was younger thought that to be set apart, one of the ways to do that was to dress differently, to act differently, to speak differently. But really, as I think about holiness, particularly as I think about this scripture from 1 Peter, it reminds me that if we are going to be holy, if we're going to grow in holiness, the way to do that is to grow in love. It is to grow in love of God and love of neighbor. That's how you become holy. And I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty good goal, doesn't it? To grow in knowledge and love of God. Love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a pretty good goal. For John Wesley, what this meant was that he was going to practice a couple of things. He was going to practice prayer. He was going to practice reading his scripture daily. He was going to practice gathering in community with some other believers. Indeed, the group that Wesley had at Oxford University, the group that he gathered around that included his brother Charles, was initially called Methodist because they had a method. They did the same thing every time they got together. They had a method. And initially, Methodist was not a good word to be called. It was intended to be slanderous. And they would say, look at the Methodists. They also called them Bible moths because they were always around their Bible. They were always reading their Bible. And they also called them, and this was also a derogatory term, the Holy Club. The Holy Club. When really all Wesley, his brother, and his friends were trying to do was they were trying to grow in knowledge and love of God and of neighbor. They were trying to be more loving. Now let me ask you something, brothers and sisters. Is there any greater goal than you and I could have for our lives than to grow in love? Is there anything in the world that we live in that is more needed than people who not only know love, but show love? Is there anything that is more needed in our society and in our culture? You know, occasionally I see things on Facebook. I see things that people write. I see things that people post. And it seems like this electronic culture that we live in has allowed us to just disparage other people at will. Okay? I was reading a post that somebody had posted. It happened to be a political post. But what fascinated me was not the political post. It was the way that people were arguing back and forth under it. And I thought, I wonder if any of you folks are going to go sit in church on Sunday next to some of those people that you probably disparaged openly and publicly. It doesn't seem to me like that's really, really acting in love. And one of the things that influenced Wesley was this scripture that says, whatever you do, do it as if you were doing it for the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever it is, do it as if you were doing it for the Lord. Now, some of you think that I'm the only person in this room that has a call, that God called, that God chose. And in a sense, that's true. God did call me. God called me to a very specific ministry as an elder in the United Methodist Church to do exactly what I do with you all in this church. But don't think that God stopped with me. God has called you as well. And the interesting thing about this verse that so shaped John Wesley is that I can think it can shape everything that we do. It doesn't matter what you do for a living if you can do it for the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you do throughout the day. If you can do it as if you were doing it for the Lord, it will be blessed. And it fascinates me that Suzanne reminded us of Susanna Wesley and everything that she did through her day, she did to the glory of God. Now, some of you I know, you go to work and work is hard, or you go to school and school is hard, and you go, man, there is no way that I can do this. There is no way that I can go and give things to the Lord, but there really is, and you can. You can, because people do it. People do it. And we just got to decide if we want to live and grow into a life of holiness. If we really believe that everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that occupies our day can be done for the Lord, we will begin to grow and be holy. We will begin to grow and be holy. And again, it does not matter what it is that you do. If you do it for the Lord, if you give it to the Lord, then you will, by definition, I think, you will grow in holiness. You see, one of the things that is unique about us as Methodists is that we don't talk a lot about getting Jesus into your heart. And it's not that we don't think that's important. We do. But Wesley knew a lot of people around him, and he felt this way himself, John Wesley did, was that I've got Jesus in my heart, so what's next? What do I do now? What am I supposed to do now? It's great that Jesus is in my heart, but where do I go? And Wesley talked about growing in holiness, growing in love. He called it sanctifying grace. That starts after we accept Jesus, after we invite Jesus to be a part of our lives. It's that grace that helps us to grow. Helps us to grow. It helps us to be people that God wants us to be. It helps us to grow into our vocation of being followers of Jesus, no matter, again, who we are, where we go, what we do. We can grow in this holiness if we will do the things that we need to do to make ourselves grow. Because you see, to me, the fascinating thing about being a Methodist, and one of the keys and one of the things that's very attractive to me is it's not just about your heart, it's also about your head. You know, because there's all this talk about giving your heart to Jesus, but the problem is often not with my heart. Can somebody say amen? It's with my head. It's not with what goes on here. It's with what goes on up here. It's with what goes on up here. And we need to have a faith that's not just a heart faith. It needs to be a rational faith. It needs to be something as we grow in holiness that helps us. It's not just the heart. It's the heart and the head. It's not either or. It's both and. And as we grow in holiness, we might find that we need our brains, that God gave us our brains, that God wants us to think, that God wants us to have more than just faith. Perhaps what God wants us to have is a reasonable faith. It's a reasonable faith. And we exercise reasonable faith all the time, don't we? You ever been on an elevator? Escalator? You ever gone at a green light? Then you've exercised reasonable faith, because you are exercising faith that the people who have the red light are going to stop. Now, we recognize that sometimes people don't do that. But what God wants from us is a reasonable faith. And that's why we need our head and our heart. We need our head and our heart. Because sometimes, and again, I think this goes back to my childhood image of what holiness is. Sometimes we dress ourselves up. You know, I got a new tie that was a gift from somebody that I like to wear today. And we dress up and we put on nice clothes. And we come to church and we smile. But on the inside, we're a mess. On the inside, we're a mess. And one of the things that John Wesley began to see was we need to grow in holiness because it's not always about how we look on the outside, is it? It's not all about how we look on the outside. Indeed, sometimes what we look on the outside covers up what's really on the inside. And so for us, the important thing is, are we growing on the inside? Where is our heart? Are we growing in love? Are we growing in love of God? Are we growing in love of neighbor? And again, as you know, I said this to you last week for Wesley, this was not either or. Either you are praying and reading your Bible and doing those kind of piety things, or you are reaching out to your brothers and sisters in Christ and trying to help people. It wasn't either or, it was both and. So brothers and sisters, today what we've got to decide is, do we want to grow or not? Do we want to grow or not? Do we want to grow? Do we want to grow in Christ? Do we want to grow in love? You know, it's fascinating to me. I got a letter a couple of weeks ago from a former parishioner who I haven't talked to in probably 10, 11 years at least. And she sent me this letter and she said, I found this thing I'd written back in 2010 on my computer and I wanted to share it with you. Well, it turned out that while I was her pastor, within a period of 3 months, her brother-in-law and her nephew, the brother-in-law's child, died. Just like that, boom, boom. The child was like 11, 12 years old, and they both died within 3 months. And so what she had written on this paper was the incident that happened and how many people were asking her wife, how many people in her family, knowing that she was a follower of Jesus Christ, how many people were asking her why, what does the Bible say about this? And then there was this line in the letter that just made me stop short because it said, I called my pastor, Mike Potts, and he said. Ooh. Why did that cause me pause? Because the person I was in Jesus Christ, the pastor I was in Jesus Christ 10, 11, 12 years ago is not the same person that I am now. Because I've continued to grow. My faith continues to grow. I continue to struggle with things. I continue to learn things. I continue to move forward in growing in the knowledge and love of God. So I thought, I took a deep breath and I said, well, what did I say? And it turns out that what I said was, she called me, I want to know about why all this happened. And I said, there is no reason. Just understand that Jesus is weeping with you. Well, she didn't tell me this at the time, but in this thing that she sent me, this really made her angry. She said, you'd think if you called your pastor that he'd have something better to tell you than there is no answer and Jesus is weeping with your family. And she said, for years I was angry with him. I was so miffed at him because I thought, what in the world was he trying to say to me? And here's the point, she starts to grow in Christ. She starts to grow in knowledge and love. She starts to grow, and she realizes that that's exactly what Jesus does, that Jesus promised us not that we would have an answer for everything, but that Jesus would never leave us. And it just warmed my heart to read that because of her growth in that time period. You see, that's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. It's about us growing in the faith. It's about us becoming the people. Holiness is not all about being holier than thou. Indeed, if we're really growing in love, we ought to be growing in that other word, humility. And once you think you got humility down, then you don't have it. It's gone. Okay? It's like trying to catch the elusive butterfly. Once you think you have humility, you don't have it anymore. Because, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Oops, you just lost it. But as we grow in the knowledge and in the love of God, as we grow in loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, then we find that we indeed do become holy people. Not holy in the sense of everything that we do is right. Everything that we do, people look at us and say, well, that's a holy person. No. I really think, again, that if we're going to be set apart people, going back to that Greek word, if we're going to be set apart people, if we're going to be holy people, then what we've got to do is grow in love of God and of each other. And you see, when we act in less than loving ways to each other, when we forget that it's important that Susanna Wesley found out that she needed 2 hours a day just to pray, when we forget that it's important to be a person of prayer, to be a person of study, to be a person who's willing to get in small groups with other Christians, when we forget that, then we start to go the other way. And the great thing is that what I know about sanctifying grace is that if you plotted the sanctifying grace of how God has grown you since you gave your life to Jesus Christ, it would look a lot like the stock market. A lot of ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. But generally, you're moving up, right? Generally, you're moving up. Sometimes you have a great depression, a great recession, and boom. But then you have times where you're so close to God that you can't even imagine not being holy, not being really close to God. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, I think it's as simple as reminding each other, we remind each other of what's important. And it is important to be holy. It is important to grow in the knowledge and love of God. And it's important for us to grow in the love of our neighbors. That's what's important. That's what Wesley found out. So how about it? Do you need to tune up? Do you need to check in? Do you need to say, okay, God, I want to love you more with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to love my neighbors myself, but Lord, I need you to help me do that. You know, the great thing about God is that as soon as we start to ask those questions, as soon as we say, God, I need these things, God starts to work. And pretty soon things are going to pop up when we need them. We're going to find out that God was right there all along. We're going to find out that we've got people around us who struggle too, who want to grow. But my prayer for you is the same prayer that I have for myself. May I never, ever, ever be satisfied with where I am now in my faith. You see, that's the Pharisee version of holiness. I've got it because I can tell you that there are all these rules, laws, things I'm supposed to be doing, and I check off every one. You see, holiness is all about that. It's not about that. It's about growing in knowledge and in love. It's about growing with the head and the heart. It's about asking the tough questions of yourself and saying, am I growing in love? And if not, what do I need to do to get there? Because brothers and sisters, if there's going to be a revival in our time, it's going to start with the person that you shave with, the person that you put makeup on. It's going to start with you, and it's going to start with me, and it'll start with us saying to God, I want to be holy like you're holy. And Lord, I know you need to teach me how to love. You need to teach me how to love you more. And you need to teach me how to love my brothers and sisters more. Because that's really what it's all about. And we too may find that holiness is not something to be avoided. Holiness is not a bad word, but holiness is a grand thing when we start to grow in the knowledge and the love of God. When our love starts to grow, then we will know that we are becoming holy. So may God, who calls us all to love God with all we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. May God lead us in the path to holiness of heart and mind so that we may grow in Christ. Because once the revival starts in here and in here, it'll start to spread out there. And woo-wee, the world better look out, amen. There'd be some wild Methodists out there changing the world. Changing the world. Amen.